Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
I don't know.
Greetings, DC Universe fans! Welcome to DC Movie News, the show where we give you all the information about things happening from the DC Movie Universe and the TV DC-verse and video games and cartoons and stuff like that sometimes.
Extended.
I'm Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
I'm Mike Kalinowski.
That's right, the three of us are together. You can find me at all the places at Adam Gertler.
And you can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. And you can find Johnny at Jake Quasto.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed. And at Mike Kalinowski.
Yes.
There we go.
So Johnny is abroad. He's is he with the troops?
Yeah, he is.
Doing good stuff.
He's being a good dude.
That Quasto, man.
He's a good guy.
Know.
He does good stuff, man.
And he would want us to talk about his blood drive.
Oh, Jay LaQuasto's blood drive.
I should have prepped a little better. If you're in the L.A. area and you want to give blood, you can do that sometime. I think it's September 11th and 12th.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
All on his Facebook page.
Yeah.
So check out LaQuasto's information. I'll tell you about the blood drive. And once again, Roxy Stryer will donate a pint of blood for every time you retweet this episode.
Do you bleed?
Yes, Roxy will bleed. So, guys...
Yes.
I don't know how your DC week's been, but I got to talk to you. Some personal issues first. So, have you finished Arkham Knight?
Done. 100%.
100%.
Done.
So even Joker Riddle's trophies? Does that include all those trophies?
All the other Arkham games, I did not do the Riddler trophies fully. I went and beat it. And then I was like, you know what? This game, I'm taking my time. I'm going to get them all. All 243 of them.
53, I think.
I went nuts. And I said, but then after I did it and beat it, people tell me if you don't beat it all, you don't get to complete any. They
right.
even say like, nope, go finish everything. So I did it all.
Before you finish the main story.
Yes, because I wanted to, because that world is so damn good.
Yeah. It was really
Arkham
good.
World, man.
So now the thing is, I'm not quite done, but I'm 90% of the main story.
You gotta get it all
and
done.
And then I had, you know, somebody unfortunately spoiled who the Arkham Knight was for me.
Was it a spoiler though? That to me was kind of like, I saw it and I was kind of like...
They kind of were broadcasting a little bit.
But they put the Red Hood story pack in there and I'm kind of like, alright, it's not him. You know, the DLC you could get, so I'm like, well, it's not him. And then I'm just like, oh. He took it off and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's him.
It was very emotional for me.
I just was a little upset because Roxy was even saying this is a completely new character created for the game. They told that...
Well, technically, the Arkham Knight is a new character.
Okay, so they're mincing words, but
yeah.
I was just kind of like... I just wanted a new... It reminded me back in the day of the animated series had Sun Tzu or whatever was a villain mm-hmm. in an animated game that Jim Lee created for the game.
Right.
So I wanted a new character added to the Bat Universe. Now, that could be brought into cartoons and comic books. They had a chance to do that, but they kind of went back and said... Well, he's just this guy, and it's our version of the Red Hood story.
And we're still not giving it away, just in case you haven't discovered
right,
it.
I'm getting really nervous because the way you set the story up was that you had a really difficult
week. Well, no, it was just the emotions that happened to me was I was getting far in this game, and like I'm not the best gamer, so it takes me a long time to finish these boards, and my Batmobile just got trashed. It got trashed by an excavator.
I forgot about
that. I just put a brand new EMP, finished the last payment on the thing.
I forgot about that.
And I'm just like, I still have side missions. So now I'm paranoid. It's like, it's taking me back into the main story. And I still have stuff to do in my Batmobile. Am I screwed?
You're screwed.
And then it turns out, you know, they pull the old, oh no, Lucius got an extra one for you over there. I'm like, what? So it kind of vacillates between being like the best story in the world and then having to serve the master of like, well, it's a video game and like we have to get these things in there. But the cinematic stuff sometimes goes on for a long time. And it is honestly, I saw IGN wrote that it's like probably one of the best summer blockbusters of the summer, including the movies. And it kind of is.
It's great.
And it is emotional. Like I was getting choked up with some of the Barbara Gordon stuff. I mean, it messes with you.
Twice in that game. Things caught me off guard, and I won't say it for people that haven't played, because I know someone that just got a friend of mine, so I don't want to spoil anything. There's two times in that game where it caught me off guard. I was like, oh, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
And like the side missions, like Professor Pig, have you got to him yet?
Professor Pig?
Oh, I just
no,
that.
I didn't. Oh, no.
It's creepy as hell.
I do love the Azrael stuff, and I feel like Killer Croc might be making an appearance soon.
Don't say anything.
Don't tell me. Anyway, the point is, I love it. Let me know what other games I should be getting, PS4 fans. What?
the Michael Keaton skin, the 89 skin they're coming out with the Batmobile. So I'm waiting to do the new game plus with
okay,
that.
Okay, and then I heard there's more downloadable content.
Oh, they're doing every month.
That's great.
Yeah, we're fantastic.
I'm going to have to do that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Justice League Gods and Monsters. I finally watched it last night. Have you seen it?
I did last week.
No, okay. I haven't seen it yet.
What did you think?
It's interesting because it's Bruce Timm, so it's the classic stuff.
Which is so great to go back to his world.
It's Elseworlds. And I loved it. Okay, I'll tell you, of all the three characters, the one that I could care less about but turned out loving was Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Her storyline, when they had the New Gods and Mr. Miracle's in the background. The New Gods! Like, Mr. Miracle, scot-free in the background.
Holy cow! I was so shocked at how much I love this. Have you seen it yet?
No, but how come every time I'm asking anybody about it, they go, and I loved it, like that. The exact way you said it.
I did not expect to love it because I don't recognize these people, and I thought it was going to be an evil Justice League, and that's not what it is.
Okay.
And then it's surprising.
They set up all those scientists, and I'm just like, oh, there's this guy, and there's that guy, and there's this guy. And they
dispatch.
It's just trust in Bruce Timm. You just got to trust him because he does it. And one thing I didn't pick up right away, the three robots that they sent off, I didn't realize that they were doppelgangers of the Justice League.
Yes.
I was like, oh, he's got
But they're also kind of the Metal Men.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, Dr. Magnus in there, and it's an Elseworld story, but like it stands on its own.
Yes.
And then I was reading an article with Bruce Timm where he basically said just how, you know, the Silver Age characters departed from the Golden Age characters, and they had the same name, but they had different costumes, different origins. It's like that.
Yep.
Like Superman is Superman, but he's different. Batman is Batman, but he's totally different.
All right, you're
and not
excited.
Just an evil version of it.
And a cool thing.
It's cooler than that.
Because in the comics right now, they're doing the Darkseid War. And they tell the story of Darkseid and Orion and giving the suns over.
Yes.
So this is timed perfectly because they tell that story. But from Wonder Woman's perspective of she marries Orion. And it was a very heartfelt story that they put into it. I was like, of the three characters, I loved her. It was my favorite.
I thought they were all great. I even liked the Kirk Langstrom Batman thing because it was like a different take on a dark, depressed Batman. And he was like a vampire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why he's a monster. And Wonder Woman is a new god. And Superman is like, oh, he's still the son of Lara, but he's got Zod DNA. Zod just came in and was like, boonk, I'm putting my imprint on it. So.
And then he's raised by like immigrants. Like,
He's raised by immigrants and he doesn't come up evil. It's like it would be too easy to do that. That's why it's great. That's why you should check it out. It was the most engaging, watchable of the direct-to-video of the year of the three that we've seen.
Right.
Best since Arkham, Assault on Arkham, in my opinion.
Wow.
Agreed.
All right, then I guess I gotta watch.
So you gotta watch.
I know.
Everybody else, watch it. Let me know what you think. I was so happy. Now let's get into some Batman v Superman news. So it came out this week that we might have a form of the character created by, I think, Marv Wolfman, the KG Beast.
I think he was I want to say the 80s, but I think it was more the 90s.
I think it was like 89, which I read. I remember my first encounter with the KG Beast was on I think it might have been the original Nintendo's Batman game, where it was like Firefly and KG Beast were villains in that.
That's
how far
that
must have been like 90 or something, 90 or 91, that early Batman game. It was really cool. So it seems like this is going to be like a member of like Lex Luthor's army.
Right.
Not necessarily, he won't be like called KG Beast, but it's that name. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
Really cool character. I'm very excited about it. I know a lot of people think that we're just loading in too many people right now.
No,
I'm not under that impression.
They're populating the world, I think.
Yeah, no, and it doesn't seem like he's going to have a storyline as like the KG Beast. It's just like it's going to be another sort of like Easter eggy kind of like there's precedence for
this saying that he's the bodyguard for Lex?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you've got a guy like Jesse Eisenberg, you need a bodyguard. Look at him. He's not the typical Lex with a bigger guy could take care of himself. So I was like, hey, makes perfect sense. Fits right in.
Oh, and that's the other thing, how Lex in Justice League is kind of a combination of Steve Jobs and Stephen Hawking.
Yes, in that chair. I was like, that's fantastic. And then at the end, was he in Metron's chair? I don't know if you know, that chair is like...
Yeah, I guess, yeah. That's the chair,
It had the design of Metron's chair.
Yes. So cool. Anyway, sorry. I didn't want to leave Roxy out.
I think you guys are great.
All right, so then we have another great image released of Batman kind of being contemplative.
Yeah.
In the field there... where he's just, you know, just kind of like wandering and being really broody, like Bruce Wayne. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if that was the one. I think I went out of order here with the pictures. But it was, yes,
there
this one. Okay.
There we go.
So this is kind of like a great image, and like again, just enforces what a lot of people say about Zack Snyder's filmmaking, that like you can just take any frame of his movies.
Right. That just looks so visually pleasing. That's never been my problem with him as a director. I do think what he does is stunning. That's not the issue. We'll see how he does directorially, though.
Yeah.
Other than that, and the way he treats the actors, and we'll see. I mean, this looks beautiful. It looks interesting. It looks dark. It looks twisted.
Do you think he treats actors bad?
No. I just don't. Not that I think he treats them poorly. I just don't. I haven't particularly loved his direction to date. I think that his stuff looks awesome.
Yeah.
And those are two different things.
Fair enough. I was wrong, definitely, when we talked about the trailer, because I remember we saw that one shot of that character with the coat walking towards Wayne Manor, and I said, no, that's Alfred.
Yes.
And to see it now, I was like, nope, it was Bruce. I am wrong in that one.
So I imagine this is probably from like that same scene or montage. It feels like it's from a similar part.
Because he lives in that, they say he lives in like a house on the property, but it's off on the side. So I think he's just kind of.
The lake house.
Yeah.
Do you wish that it was Alfred?
No, it doesn't matter to me.
There's also seems like to be like right, but a little bat signal in the sky there.
Is it kind of a little bit?
I'm still not sure. By the way, I'm 50-50 about whether he's retired or not. With the debate that we have ongoing, like if there is a break.
I love the people on Twitter. The guys on Twitter, they're awesome. The debate back and forth, like the stories that I get. But I sincerely think he's Batman still. I don't think he goes out every night.
Right.
Because I remember early on they talked about drones. And there's drones patrolling Gotham. I think he sits in that computer down in that. Because
he just flies
around.
Because
the Batcave is not destroyed looking or like the manor.
No, it's underground. Yeah.
The manor, he says the car is covered over because they've even talked about it. We'll get to that a little bit later about the car. But so it doesn't look like the cave has been distressed at all. So I think he is constantly down there surveilling Gotham. It's safe.
Kind of a recluse.
And now Superman comes out and he's like, oh, I can't just. There's no more of these criminals anymore. This is above and beyond. Ooh. I need to come back.
Maybe he does try to encounter Superman with drones at first, and Superman just like blink.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how the timeline would make sense if he was retired for this whole time.
Because I think where the retired thing came from was everyone's like they're using Dark Knight Returns. I think. I don't think it's wrong of them to say that they're using that as a basis, but I think that is giving people the wrong idea about this movie.
Here's one theory, Roxy.
Drinking gin,
Here's one theory. It's not the drinking gin, driving race cars, but the idea is that the Joker kills Robin, kills the Jason Todd or whatever, blows up Wayne Manor, and Bruce is like, 20 years in Gotham, how many good people, what good did I do? He gives it up. He's like, I can't be responsible. Barbara Gordon gets her spine blown away. Jason gets killed. The manor's blown up. I tried to do good and I didn't. And I'm sorry. And I quit.
And the reason he comes back is because of Superman.
Because now he's like, this guy can end the entire human race. And those are big stakes. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I'm on board. I love it. I love a comeback, man.
I don't think he's gone completely. I think he's doing what he can.
Somebody, I want to say part of that theory is courtesy of one of our great fans on Twitter. They were like, oh, here I have this theory. I'm sorry I didn't check your name. But yeah, I'm on board with a lot of that stuff. And, you know, look, I'm very excited for this movie. It is my most eagerly anticipated movie, even more than the Lego Batman sequel. So we'll see what happens with that. And then we had some other great images of Batman v Superman, some high-res images. Batman at the bat signal, kind of looking up into the sky, menacing, waiting for the man. This is interesting, too, because I feel like this is also a come out of retirement and, like, nobody's seen the bat signal in years. And I want to see that, like, people around Gotham being like, wow, I haven't seen that in a long time.
There's no Gordon anymore.
There's no Gordon, which explains why he would be
putting the symbol on.
Putting the signal up.
But if he's got drones and doing that, because then talk about, because Clark Kent, they got that line about there's this vigilante in Gotham, so he's been operating. It's not like he just pops up all of a sudden, so Clark Kent starts.
Back. He's back now.
I don't think he's out in the suit every night, but I think there is a bat presence keeping Gotham safe or patrolling.
I think
somehow.
The reason Clark thinks it's a thing now is because he's just come back on the scene.
So why isn't he going right after Superman right away? Why is he dealing with his own crime?
He's trying to find out some stuff. He's trying to find out like who these Lex soldiers are. Like,
he's got a lot to deal with.
Oh, there's so much. I don't know.
Ah!
My head's going to explode.
Doesn't this picture to you guys look like a drawing? Like a hand-done drawing? To me, it just doesn't even look like a photograph.
Yeah, well, yeah. In the suit with the eyes, yeah.
Do you mean he took an image and made it look like a comic book from a movie? Oh, I don't know about that. It's perfect.
Haters
hate on Zack Snyder all you want.
That wasn't me hating on it. I just said I think visually it's really pleasing.
Absolutely.
I just think that it looks like a drawing.
But Batman's not the only one that could be angry. We also see this picture that Superman could be kind of pissed off as well. Yeah, now that definitely, again, it looks very posed and very brooding, but man.
It's so strange when Superman does the Batman face, because it's just not his character to be like this. He looks so ticked off at something, and it's like...
He's pissed.
Yeah, I get that he's pissed, but I don't know. It doesn't look like Superman to me when he looks like this.
Something I did not think about, but a fan said they think that's Wayne Manor, and he's standing in Wayne Manor.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't know where they get this from, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't... I mean, yeah, it's a trash location, and Wayne Manor was trash, so I see the correlation there.
And I remember during filming, they showed a set location, and it was a burnt-out house in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, this could be Wayne Manor, because it had the same architecture, mm-hmm. and it's got that feel to it. That looks like that doesn't look like a soundstage. It looks like a set in the one that they showed these pictures of months ago.
Yeah, you know, at some point... Superman's got to confront Batman too. You know, like
he comes to Gotham, yeah.
Right. We've seen, like, in comics, and we've seen Bruce Timm certainly did it when Batman spies on Clark Kent and figures him out, and then Clark Kent uses the X-ray vision and figures Batman out.
Right.
This could be that, you know, where he does show up at the cave, and before they have, you know, because at some point they're going to have it out and hash it out and.
And
become best friends.
Do we think he's staring at something in particular?
He's staring
at Batman.
It begs to the question, like you said with the Batman, was this a production still, or is this actual footage happening in the movie and they just took the still right from there, or is that set up on set with, was it Clay Enos as the photographer? Mm-hmm. They had that, you know, that one shot of Batman with the desert suit. Is that one of those?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it looks very much posed and set up, you know. And I think what they're trying to avoid is like a repetition of like that original EW cover and like so many of these really bad, you know, like Terminator Genesis and a lot of these movies where they're just like, it's the full costumes and poor lighting and it's not a good representation.
Right. What I want is, if you remember, this was almost a year ago now, Kevin Smith said he saw a picture that was done. They built a little bit of a rooftop. They had Batman with Superman in the background, and it was Kevin Smith's first look at the suit.
Yeah.
And it was a studio-produced still of them. That's, I'm hoping, will be released eventually to see. So I think that's one of these, where these are studio-released stills they shot on the day like that.
Yeah. Well, God, I hope so.
But again, it's not telling you anything, so it's great, because you're not like, well, this is the scene in the movie.
And this is what we want. We want to constantly ask questions and make theories, and then when we get to March 25th, I want everything out the window.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it's like, you know, we obsess over all this and these theories, but we want to be totally wrong.
I've seen so many times where I think I know it already, and I'm completely proven wrong. There was that one scene in the original trailer where it was that there was the, now we know it's a Batplane coming in. I was like, oh, that's one of the drones.
Yeah.
When I first saw
it. Do we know that's a Batplane?
Yeah, because El Mambe posted the Batplane. What it looked like. I was like, oh, that's it. Yep, proven wrong already.
Okay, so also we get a Lex. We got a great Lex picture here.
Which also looks pretty posed.
Yes, but something happened in this. Now, if you remember the scene, there's basketballs in the background. He's on a basketball court. There was talk. There's a basketball court in LexCorp. In the trailer, there's a shot of someone walking with a boot, and there's bullets all strewn about the ground. And there's a deflated basketball.
Oh.
So that something big happens in this LexCorp area.
Well, I love the you know, it's very referential to like that typical Northern California .com billionaire corporate culture.
Hipster,
is like
just,
exactly. We've got like gourmet coffee in the break room and a basketball court for lunch breaks.
The movie with Vince Vaughn, they were at Google or
the
whatever.
Interns or something like that. Yeah.
Doesn't it look just like something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the kind of corporate D-bag that they're trying to promote. And you know what?
Well,
this is
that cross that you said earlier.
Every time, Roxy, I see the trailer, like, I love that red capes line for some reason. Like, I love it more and more. Like, I don't know why.
You're
it annoys
alone.
Me.
Because he's trying
alone.
To prove that he's literate and he's history. I was like, you're a D-bag. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Even when I see the posters for American Ultra, his new film, where he's got the same kind of hair, I'm like, you're such a dick.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah, he's so
and
good.
Every time
such
he's interviewed, too. So, you know.
But I think...
He's a great Lex Luthor.
Other than some of the other actors we've recently talked about with their interviews, I think he's got the chops to back it up.
Yeah, I actually agree with that.
I think
he's very talented.
20, 30 years from now, will be one of the great... I mean, he's phenomenal now.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be one of these actors that... He's just like a... God, what's his name? I Drink Your Milkshake.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes. Who's not the most personal guy in interviews.
This goes so beyond not the most personal. I think that you're right that he is talented. I don't think anybody has the chops to back up being a douche. I just don't.
Okay, agreed. If you're being paid that much, you should... We say that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people just don't subscribe to that.
A lot of people really like him in his interviews, though, and they just think that he's a straight shooter, and that's fine.
No, I just mean that even, you know, watching him in the American Ultra trailers and seeing in the poster, if you look at the poster, the look on his face, you're not like, oh my God, that's like a hero okay. I'm going to get behind. Yeah, it just yeah. looks like an egg. That's
For
all.
You two guys, you interview a lot of people, would you guys like to interview him, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Look, as someone that constantly, you know, every time I fail, I can't wait to get back on a horse again because okay. I hate having failure on me. So, like, when I've had these experiences that have, like, maybe not been the best right. where I haven't, like, handled myself or figured out, you know, I do. And there's also part of you that say, like, no, I'm gonna get through to them and get and ask a good question in a sensible way. Like, to go back to the Cara Delevingne thing with the paper towns, right. like, those people, you know, that was a bad connect on both sides. But the way they were asking questions, they were so over-caffeinated and they seemed, like, very disingenuous and condescending from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I would like to talk to the guy in a genuine way. Absolutely. It wouldn't be like, you know, if I were to interview, like, one of my all-time heroes and I wouldn't want to do it because I wouldn't want to have it killed for me. It's not like I hold Jesse Eisenberg in such a high regard that it'd be like, no, it would destroy my world to interview him. Like, if right. it were, say, someone like Jack Nicholson or Mick Jagger, you know, or be like, I don't want to know. I'd rather just keep my distance.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that if you're somebody who likes a challenge, then interviewing him is a good thing. I think that the worst case scenario is that he gives you the same kind of interview that he gives everybody else, and that would just be what it is.
Right.
Best case scenario, he says something really awesome, you connect, and you're like, holy crap, I was completely wrong about him.
Exactly.
I think also people don't realize that they're sitting in that room, and the reporters just keep in and out. It's a press junk, and they just bring him in, and so this could have been the 20th interview of the
day. Right, like, but the Cara Delevingne thing, she could have had a camera on her.
Right.
She's got an earbud in her ear, and then they say, like, all right, you're on Good Morning Seattle right now. You're right. in Sacramento. And it's like there's a second of a delay. It's a very awkward
yeah.
scenario, and I've done those kinds of press tours before. And
you've got,
like,
the studio heads over there, yeah. and you've got her handlers over there.
And she was up all night at a premiere, and she couldn't sleep, and yeah. she's been doing these for days. I think
the junkets are grueling, absolutely, and everybody thinks they're unique, and everybody thinks they've got the raddest question, and they're going to get the real interview.
Then you got someone like Tom Cruise who just knocks it out of the park every single time.
Every time, and then you're like, okay, so this can be done.
He's yeah. the consummate professional.
He is.
You know what I mean? Like,
and I think as actors, especially they're getting to this level, it's part of the job.
Yeah.
You gotta just take it, you know, you gotta take it all. It's the package. And if you wanted this going into it, you kind of knew what it was. You sign on to this big, huge franchise. You know
yes.
you're gonna be under the microscope for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, if you want to do the important independent films.
Chris Evans, great example of that, because he did not want to get involved with Captain America. And Robert Downey Jr. said, do it. It's going to be the best thing for you, and you're going to be able to go off and do what you want. So now he's directing. And in interviews, he's great.
What a turnaround. Remember when people were talking about how he seemed ungrateful? He was like, yeah. oh, it's going to be 10 years.
Remember that?
And he was, and everyone was like, who is this guy? And then kind of since then, he's been doing the hospital appearances and the costume.
And his Snowpiercer press, which was amazing.
Yeah. yeah. Just, you know.
At the beginning, he was just, I don't think he knew. He's like, I don't know if I want this. I kind of like my anonymity.
If you're going to be a guy like Captain America, I kind of don't want you to be an asshole off camera. That's what we were saying before. It's like with Jesse Eisenberg, it's like, you know what? I don't care. He's Lex Luthor.
You're Lex.
But if he was Captain America or Superman, it would bother me.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely agree.
Right or wrong, it would bother me.
So what do you think then about Cara Delevingne?
I think it's a different case, you know, because I honestly think she did not come off looking the worst in that interview. Everybody thinks that the interviewers came off looking bad, and she does have a reputation for being, you know, just sort of like unique in her own thing. I don't think it hurts her one way or the other.
I don't know if everybody thinks that. Did you see what Whoopi Goldberg said about it?
I didn't. What did Whoopi have to say?
Whoopi was like, you ungrateful little piece of crap.
Okay.
And
there you go.
And honestly, she straight up said it. She was like, I've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
You smile, you put on that smile, you're not even famous. And then somebody said, she is famous, and Whoopi said, no, I'm effing famous.
Oh! And it was kind of awesome.
Amazing.
That's
amazing. That's kind of awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, if she says it.
I like to think I'm well-versed with up-and-coming actors in the industry. Aside, when she got cast, I was like, I don't know what she's ever been in. And now we say Paper Towns. I'm like,
yeah.
No, she's been modeling. She's a model.
But, well, but, there you but again, okay, to counterpoint, and not to make this all about like the Cara Delevingne thing, this kind of behavior does get people noticed, and sometimes it's a gamble that works.
Right.
You know, a lot of successful people from, you know, Madonna to Lady Gaga, it's like, it's outlandishness and ostracizing a large part of the populace that gets a certain amount of attention. And if you can back it up with good work, it makes you stand out from the heat. There's a lot. How many models turned actresses are there? She's making a play to say, like, look, I'm unique. I'm not just another, you know, another face.
And how many people actually, like, I don't even watch those interviews, really, to be honest with you. I mean, it's like, you watch them, but I don't want to know about
but
it.
But we all know this one,
right?
Because it made news.
And now we're still talking about it. What
we're still
it,
talking
a
about
month
it.
Ago?
A couple weeks,
Yeah. So yeah, so that's that.
Okay.
Feel free to keep chiming in with that, guys. Let's go to let's talk about the Batmobile, since I love talking about Batmobiles.
Yes.
And I was really upset that my Batmobile got trashed.
All right, but what about you and your picture of the Batmobile?
Oh, that's I should have threw that in there. Yeah, so this Batmobile, which may be one of the ones that I got to sit in, actually. Now, I can tell you that the cockpit of the Batmobile I sat in was not completely finished. I know they had close-ups for when, you know, they have a separate, you know, set for when it's like alive, hot, everything working. But I did get to sit in this car. So the idea here is like the Justice League influenced the look of this Batmobile.
He was just saying that pretty much he was trying to, he's trying to make a whole world. He's trying to make an entire universe. And so he has to take into account in the Batcave and the Batmobile, everything. It's all going to play into who Batman is and who Batman's position is in the Justice League. That's all he was saying.
He was saying, it made it sound like, this is going to be the Batmobile for the next four or five films.
Right.
We're not going to get a different Batmobile every single film. Does it fit in with what they're doing with that film? And I think that's a great idea. But that was also in the interview. He said the Batmobile has not been used for years. There's a tarp over it in the Batcave, he said. And Bruce, there's a scene with him working on
it. Okay, so how are you not buying into my theory of semi-retirement?
Well, that's the thing with the drones.
Okay, but semi-retirement.
That's why when he puts his hand on the thing and the suit opens up, he's like, shit, I got to put this thing back on again.
Okay, okay. So look.
Because if he's still in shape, look at him. He's still physically in shape. There's never a scene of him where he's kind of like, where he's with the with the girl holding
body. What's going on? What's the face?
Because we see him working out in the trailer. Because
he's loosening it, get back into it.
He's got to get back into it.
But
I think we're mincing words. Talking about mincing
words. Let's not mince words.
Because I'm saying that he's basically not been Batman. You're saying, okay, so he's operating drones. He's basically been playing video games.
Basically,
and so now he does have to work out and get back into shape. Yeah, he can hold a girl. He's still
and
Batman.
And that's why people are saying, oh, he looks like he's chubby Batman. He's like, he's not. He looks like he's a bodybuilder that kind of let himself go a little bit.
Just to clarify, operating drones and playing video games, is that what the correlation was there?
It's pretty similar.
Pretty much the same thing.
Oh, my God.
No, the military.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
The military recruits people with those skills.
Skills, but with a way different outcome.
Of course,
sure.
You're sitting there playing Arkham, and you're thinking, "Yeah, I'm really doing this."
Well, if the government is watching me play Arkham, they're like, "We don't need this guy. We definitely don't need him on our team." They're like, "How long does it take you to beat the freaking excavator tank, dude? Come on!" They want to reach in through, and I almost get to a board where they're going to finish it for me. They're like, "It's torture watching you play this."
So you're telling me that,
he
would be great at Arkham.
There is a movie coming out.
Batman would be great at Arkham. Yes.
There's a movie coming out. It's based on a true story of these drone operators that basically have no concept of what they're doing because they're in a little room. They see the X. They push the button. And these lives are being destroyed. And they're having these mental breakdowns because they don't realize. And then they come back into society and like, oh, my God. It was like playing a video game. I had no idea the consequences of this. So it's very similar.
We just saw that in a movie.
What was that in?
I don't know.
Was it a more recent one? There is a one in production right now.
Zero Dark
Thirty?
No. No. Guys, help us up.
They did
drone strikes. So you're saying that the drone operators in this situation didn't actually know that they were operating real drones?
No, they did, but that's what they do every single day.
They become desensitized.
Yeah. And when they come back into society,
but
Bruce Wayne is, I think he's
at that point. You guys agreeing finally.
Well, no, because basically what I'm saying is that if he's at the point where his being Batman at this point is just operating drones,
right.
To me, I get the same. I'm coming out of retirement, getting the band back together, feeling of like pulling off the tarp, putting the costume back on, working out to become that guy. That montage, that thing, that's what I want. So to me, if he's just been operating drones, it doesn't take away from that. Like, it just means that he's still connected to it.
Okay. I don't think he's doing because I think it's too, if he was doing what you're saying, he'd be too similar to Dark Knight Rises. Where he's just sitting there letting...
No, I don't think that. I don't think that.
So where's the middle ground?
So what do you think he's been sitting doing then?
I think he's operating drones.
There you go.
Okay, I can agree with that. Right.
But he hasn't been being Batman.
No, he's not out there swinging with the grappling hooks.
So he's not necessarily retired. Let's drop that word. He's just not being Batman.
I'm going to go with semi-retirement, and that's as far as I'm going to go.
All right. We'll shake on it.
What do you guys think? Semi-retirement for the Bat?
Drone.
And you know what? As far as him being thick and like on the pudgy side, like, yeah, that is also, we know that the visual influence is The Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when...
he's not out of shape. It's a guy that's just working out for what? I mean, he's been Batman for 20 years. That's...
When the animators who worked on Dark Knight Returns, you know, they sent a lot of the storyboards overseas. And when I was at a Q&A when they came out with The Dark Knight Returns, and the animators came back to, like, Jay Olivia and the people that were making that film, and they were like, Batman looks really wide. Like, they thought there was something wrong with their sketches, because they've been doing Batman for years. And like, why is he so wide? And, like, if you look at Dark Knight Returns, Batman's freaking wide.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Yep.
He's a beast. In a good way.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what I want to see.
Yep.
So I love that they're doing that. And, you know, moving on from the Batman v Superman, the Green Lantern debate is heating up.
No.
We have another.
I want to skip the entire subject altogether. I cannot.
There it is.
So Lance Gross is up for it. There's this interesting shrubbery. This interesting. From an Instagram, which is really cool. I would love that to be like in my garden.
You know, I see them doing stuff like this. You know,
is he messing with Tyrese? What's this guy's attention?
You know, it's like if one of us went and took our picture and I photoshopped my face out and I just made it blank and I put hashtag the question, hashtag arrow, hashtag CW, hashtag David Rappaport. And people would get a hold of that and go, this guy, he's posting these, you know, these cryptical things about the question.
Don't know.
This is the question. I'm like, no, it's fucking...
I don't know why any idiot would ever, like, just put up, like, a photoshop picture of their face on a favorite superhero, like Green Lantern.
There's
and
one
said,
guy.
It was cool.
There's one guy. He's on the CW.
I don't know why.
He's on the CW. His name's Steven something. He pictures himself like posing in the gym. He's like hashtag Nightwing. And because he was on like Vampire Diaries for two episodes, the people took and he's like, get him for Nightwing, this and that. And it's just like it went. And all the forums have hyped this up over a year. So it's like people talk when they mention Nightwing. This guy, it's self-built hype. If you've cast in one of these roles, you are not putting your stuff like that.
What are you talking about? I think this guy looks really sexy. This up-and-comer.
You
this,
don't want to piss off the studio or anything because
there's 10 things to say right now.
Like the guy that did Wally West, he wasn't posting pictures of him with lightning bolts on his shirt going, ha-ha, join an Arrow, join in Flash. No, they... If you've got that role, you are not talking about it at all.
Okay. But don't I look sexy as a Green Lantern?
Fantastic.
Number one, for the people who are audio only and not watching this and they're like, what is Adam talking about? So he posted a picture from Chromatic Art Edit on Instagram. Chromatic_art_edit. And it's Adam looking real good as Green Lantern. So.
Yeah, with a really small, smaller head, just a really jack body.
You guys all look good.
I'm sorry. Did we all look good? I'm pretty sure Booster Gold looked awesome. I'm pretty sure you looked awesome. I'm pretty sure I looked like I was going to... Well, it was a sick picture, but
yeah. Thank you for whoever did that and made pictures for us.
Awesome.
And now Mike needs one, so please make Mike Honesko. Who do you want to be? Like, what hero do you want to be?
Well, let's see. Are you doing it to be on?
You would be a great Nightwing. I mean, because you have that kind of Dick Grayson all grown up kind
maybe
of
Nightwing or Adam Strange, I think would be phenomenal.
That would be good. You know, Nightwing comes off great in the game, by the way. As far as like well-adjusted people, like
Scott,
if all the Robins.
My friend Scott Porter was the voice of it.
Really?
We used to be roommates together.
It comes off great. I love it when...
It's awesome.
And their fight scenes together are so great. And you know what's really cool about the game is like whenever you're in a fight scene with Nightwing, they're kind of like easier fight scenes, which it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It should be easier for you to take it. And like they're like, oh, finally, this is just kind of fun. This isn't a stressful fight scene.
One
it's
thing
just
that,
kicking ass.
Sorry to go back to the game, but happened when you're in the Panasonic Studios and you're walking in the cinematic and you've got Robin and the two of you are just bantering back and forth, going to room, kick ass. It's like, you know what? We have not seen that yet. We have not seen Batman and Robin done well. With each other being badasses.
It's hard to do well, and I agree.
Like,
that's why I love the game so much, too. I'm like, this is just so much fun.
Yeah, they...
Just, you know, between the scenes of me just being so terrible at it, it's like the story is unfolding, and it's just like, this is good.
It's a great game.
So what was the other things that you wanted to say about it?
Great.
You had 10 things to say.
You look great as Harley.
I only heard you say three things.
Thank you.
You look great.
I just... Okay. And at the same time as having 10 things to say, I have no things to say because I don't don't any longer know what to say about Tyrese. If this is a trend that he's starting and now people are going to just keep doing this, then I'm going to jump. Like, I can't with this. If you are an actor and you want a role and you want to work your butt off to get it and you want to put yourself out there, I have
Ryan
no problem
Reynolds
with that.
Deadpool.
I have no problem with that. I think that's great. You want to spark an idea, but you can't claim that you're taking meetings. You can't say, #taken the oath. You can't say, like, all of these things. You're right. If somebody actually had this role, it wouldn't happen. So now that other people are doing this and it's like a trend, it's going to be like #trending. Who's going to be the Green Lantern? Oh my God. I can't with it.
I think Mike Social hit media. The nail on the head. I think, you know, people saw this sort of be successful with Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool.
Yeah, right.
Now it's a film that's got a lot of heat. It's got, you know, whether you're into it or not.
It was made for the fans.
They have the best marketing. So now they have a film with Deadpool that had a manageable budget. Some people say as much as 70. Some people say it was $40 million.
He took a huge pay cut to do this.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm sure he's a producer on the film.
Right.
But now what it's given them is this We're the Cool Kids kind of marketing thing that they did with Extra, that they did with Conan.
Yep.
You know, and it's going to completely rethink the way, you know, now studios are used to matching the budget of the film with their advertising, and now people have to be like, we have to be much smarter about the whole way we fund it.
I've talked to a lot of friends. I'm not a fan of the Deadpool character. I'll see it. I hope we'll love it. But I think this is a movie that is out at the perfect time with memes, GIFs, everything like that. Deadpool is the internet generation, and he came out in the 90s, but he's so much, like, if he came out in the 90s, that movie would have bombed.
Let me ask you this.
But now in this day with memes, I'm sure during marketing they'll have Deadpool, and you can meme him, they can put him on a green screen, and you do shit with it to put it out there.
Is Deadpool the next major superhero film after Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Comes out in February.
You're saying chronologically.
Chronologically.
I don't think there's anything
because
this summer.
This is the thing, and it's ironic that they're both Fox movies, but we're kind of hitting that part where some people are having superhero movie fatigue.
Yeah.
And I think that with Deadpool, because of the tone of it, it's going to be the perfect thing in that genre at the perfect time.
February, fantastic month for it to come out.
Yeah.
It is a dead season typically for movies, I think. I think it's going to do a Kingsman box office where it just takes everyone by storm. Great time for Kingsman to come out.
I agree, and I think it's going to do better just for me personally because, like, even though I love Mark Millar, and the advertising for Kingsman, I thought it looked terrible. Like, I thought it looked terrible. Yeah. Oh. And then it was only when I heard people that I respect start to say it was good.
Came out of it.
And I loved it. I've seen it twice.
Yeah.
And I really, really, really loved it. Because it had the perfect tone. Because the action had weight,
right.
It had a great villain, and the comedy worked. And it's a really tricky thing to nail, and that's what Deadpool's going to try to
everything
do.
Everything is stacked in its favor for this movie to do well.
And if you want to know more about it, you can listen to the Marvel show.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Whatever. I love comic books. I love comic movies.
No, I know you do. I do.
So a little bit of thing here. Viola Davis, kind of not a lot of news, just kind of saying that, like, you know, there was a lot of question about whether she could work it out with her new...
a lot of that happens
with the ABC show where the shows will...
Actors want to do the movie, but TV's like, nope, sorry. Can't
especially
do it.
This is ABC, which is affiliated with Disney.
Right.
Here's my thing.
But it brings people to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the section of the podcast, the show we like to call Roxy's Thing. So, take it away, Roxy.
It's a really big thing.
Roxy's Thing.
That's what she said.
Okay. What I love about this is I don't feel like a lot of times big places get it. The bigger she is...
What do you mean big places?
Big places? ABC. Any big network, any big production company, whatever it is, they want these exclusivity clauses. The bigger Viola Davis is, the bigger her show is going to be.
There you go.
How to Get Away with Murder is going to be larger the larger she gets. The more famous she is, the more eyes are on her, the more people are going
to
watch that show. So why wouldn't they want her to be in Suicide Squad?
I agree.
Because, and also think about it, The core audience of what Suicide Squad... Jeez, I can't talk today.
It's called Suicide
Squad.
Suicide is painless.
Make you a little nervous?
It did. You always make me nervous. But that audience is not watching her show on ABC right now. But after that movie, like, oh, I got to see this actress. Though they might tune in for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an excellent point, Roxy.
So I just never understand when they're not accommodating and they try to make people jump through all these different hoops.
Yeah.
Good. They wanted her to do it. They made it work. They made it, I think it was a 13-episode series instead of 22 or 24, whatever it was going to be. And it was great. And the show rocked. And the bigger the show is, then her fans from the show are going to go see the movie and say, and vice versa.
And I think it's really important to have actresses and actors that have that kind of weight in these films so that we take them seriously in the important way. Like, I was thinking as far as back as, like, you know, a lot of people attribute the first X-Men film as being a beginning of the new renaissance for superhero films. And I was thinking about that. And a lot of people say, like, oh, the X-Men doesn't hold up. And I'm like, what did I really love about it? What holds up for me? And it's three actors, really. It's Hugh Jackman, it's Patrick Stewart, and it's Ian McKellen. Those are the things that film gets right. It gets Wolverine incredibly right, having him in a ring. It has Professor X incredibly right, and it has Magneto incredibly right. And I think about some of the other things, and I'm like, wow, some things were kind of terrible. Mm-hmm. Sabretooth, one of the best villains, it's like laughable. But it works because of the weight of those actors. Going back to the Superman film with Gene Hackman, like, having important actors that have gravitas, grounds the ridiculous world. They don't need to be the leads.
No.
They ground it in a world. They make the world have weight, and that's why it's really important. So we're happy that she's going to be in this film, which we're all very excited about.
Absolutely. And she seemed surprised that they were so giving, so good for them.
Now we have a lot of casting we're going to talk about in the world of TV, and here is Roxy with the TV Time theme song.
TV, TV, I miss Johnny, TV Time, TV, TV. Why do you guys have to do the backup? TV, TV, TV.
I don't subscribe to your TV Time.
I can't.
I'm not going to do it.
I just can't dance to it yet. I want to know. I'm waiting for the remix.
No, people have been asking me if I'll just release an album with it. So, you know, it's
I want to sing along, but I'm just so white.
Green Cat sings the hits.
Mm. I can't. Okay. So starting off.
That's so good.
Here's a name that's, you got to be an actor when you have a name like this. Falk Henschel.
He was born into that name. You don't think it was a chosen name?
I don't know.
He's got a unique look, so I think that might be his name.
I think it's Falk Henschel.
I think so too.
He's cast as the non-alien version of Hawkman. So what do we think? Legends
I'm
of Tomorrow,
so of
Hawkman.
Two minds of this casting.
Talk to me about these minds.
I recently just saw him on S.H.I.E.L.D. again. Mm-hmm. He was on the season 2 premiere. He played S.H.I.E.L.D. bad guy. He had a name, and he just basically comes into a room and throws some discs and kills some people. So
like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. you're talking about, not Michael Chiklis S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. No, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I love the fact that I've never seen this guy before. He hasn't really done much. It seems to be a lot of times, like Arrow in these superhero shows, they like actors that have a lot of superhero or sci-fi show credit. They bring a lot of that genre in.
Mm-hmm.
So to see a guy like this that's an actor, you know, not the biggest resume, but getting a cool role like this, I love that. It means they're taking more people that, you know, they don't need to have a big name because no one, I mean, take this guy and throw him, you know, on the street, no one's going to recognize who he is.
Well, it's the same thing.
So I love it.
It's the same exact thing with Ciara Renee, who's playing Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
And
but she's a Broadway girl, though.
She does come from Broadway, but she has next to no credits.
But what's her thing on Broadway? Is she a big deal on Broadway?
She was in Pippin.
So if they're a big name on that, that's kind of a, like this guy, I mean, I don't know his background, but I've only seen him on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And I pride myself on knowing sci-fi and superheroes and movies and all that kind of stuff. So I've never seen. So I love the fact that the casting.
But you had never seen her either, though. That was the. That's the.
But
point.
I'm not a, right.
That, the whole point is that they're not recognizable.
But like Tommy Merlin, season 1, he was a Broadway guy.
Yeah.
I was like, how did this guy I've never seen before get a series regular? It's like, oh, he's a Broadway guy.
Didn't last.
That's just the cachet to itself that you were on Broadway as an actor.
Oh,
that's,
of course it is. I'm not saying I think training and being on Broadway and all of that is
so
important, but I'm just saying that they're not recognizable. That's the
fair enough
to the masses.
Do we
and
think
he's
that?
Not recognizable.
Do you think that? Hawkman was always going to be part of this because they announced Hawkgirl so early and then it was a later
one
addition.
The other.
No, I don't know about that because this is what I've been saying the whole time. When I interviewed the cast of Legends, they all were clueless. They were clueless about what this
show
was.
And then they postponed the production a little bit.
Yeah, and then they pushed it back and none of them had any idea what was going on, who their love interests were, what their storylines were, nothing. So
this is going to be an alternate version. This is not like the Thanagarians.
Right.
This is, you know, more earthbound,
well,
I think. Tied
like,
to the Egyptian mythology version
right.
of
like,
the.
There's been Carter Hall where it's been spelled with a C. There's Carter with K O T A R
exactly
from Thanagar.
Exactly,
so it's
exactly.
like they,
So this is just going to be a little bit more grounded on Earth, probably more to deal with like an Earthbound relic, just because this world has not gone off-world. What I'm excited about this, and I'll say it very simply, is because of the way they've been doing CGI wings on shows recently.
Yeah.
Like on Constantine.
Yeah.
Also that sci-fi show. What is it? Rain or Dominion?
Are you on CW?
No, sci-fi. I know what you're talking about.
No, the sci-fi. Yeah. There's like an angel show. But anyway, like I'm digging the sci-fi, the CGI wings. So for that reason alone, I think it's going to look really cool. I really hope the effects of it.
The Arrow Flash Legends of Tomorrow team has not gone wrong. I don't think they've had some bumps, but any show has. So I think I'm on board with whatever what they're doing.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that a lot of the characters that we're about to talk about and that we are talking about are being introduced in either Flash or Arrow or in that crossover and then are going on to Legends. Are they trying to pull the audience over? Are they just, it's a smoother transition? Why do we feel like they're doing that?
It helps pad out the seasons. So it's not, you know, every episode of Legends of Tomorrow is, let's introduce this character. We've got to do a background. Whereas Arrow, you know, 22, 24 episodes. There are always those episodes you're like, oh, this is a filler episode to get the story going.
What they're able to do with these TV shows better than the movies is what they do in comic books, which is when you like you build up the legend of a character here so that when they come over here, you're already invested. It pays off so that you know how evil this person is or how powerful they are without having to explain it in the same episode.
As long as you're reading that comic book or watching that TV show, otherwise you're a little lost.
Right. Well, but I mean, that's comics, you know? I mean, if you fall in love with it, if you get into that world, there's an audience for it. And, like, you know, that's how comics got me to collect all the different, you know, big crossing over.
You could want to find out more, and you just go to your local comic store and pick up some comic books.
Exactly.
And it all works out.
So Ryan Robbins is cast as a member of the terrorist organization Shadowspire in Arrow. He's playing a character called Conklin, which doesn't seem like there's a tremendous amount of precedence for.
I read the comics. I've never heard of it. I'm kind of like,
have you heard of Shadowspire?
No.
Nah,
I don't know where it came from.
So this is going to be all via flashback.
Each season there's a different flashback, which is kind of funny because you're like, so how long was he on this island?
5 years turned into like 15 years.
But are we going to have Shadowspire in past, and now the season they talked about Hive is going to be current. So is it two organizations running concurrently?
Well, I think Conklin's going to be showing up in the present, and then like other Shadow Spires are in the flashbacks.
I thought Conklin was only showing up in the flashback.
I could be completely wrong, and you might be completely right.
I think that's
right.
What I heard, which is interesting because I have a hard time. If you don't then later on show up in the present, I have a hard time giving you too much weight because it's like, what exactly is
the relevance? Well, that's why it's always the flashbacks. The flashbacks usually relate to what's going on in the present, too. So that's why, you know.
I
apologize if you guys have talked about this already in the past, but the showrunners have talked about that the Clan of the Arrow, if you guys heard about this, it's a series that New 52 did where it was all these clans of weapons, the sword, the spear, the shield, in the history, and they said it's not off limits. That is something that if you are a fan of Green Arrow, they've talked that they're going to do it. It's like, well, we're not saying we're not going to.
So that the Arrow is just one of these weapons of this clan?
Yes, and it is. That would build and be a like a season two flashback where it's phenomenal. It's a run. If you guys don't know, go pick up New 52. I don't know who wrote it or drew it, but it's called the Clan of the Spear, the Clan of the Arrow, but it's all these different shields, sword, axe, staff. It's phenomenal. They said they're going to do it. It is going to be
very interesting.
Phenomenal.
Well, they say they're going to do it, or they say it wasn't off limits?
They didn't say it's next. They're not saying it's season 5. Because they never want to get too far ahead or say, you know, take away from. But they said, we're going to get to it.
Well, we're going to actually talk to how the New 52 is influencing the TV world in a moment, too. But first, I just wanted to talk about another villain while we're talking about villains. And look at Vandal Savage.
So badass.
Wow.
So badass.
All of us are just like. And here's the other thing. The actor playing this, his name is Casper Crump.
You can't make that up.
Mm-hmm. Which should be a comic book villain on its own.
I think you see this. Okay. Yeah. I love what Matt Nable eventually did as Ra's al Ghul. But when I first saw I'm like, this guy looks like kind of a bum in a bar.
Oh, I didn't feel that way.
He just kind of had like this, like, and I know, like, Ra's al Ghul needs to have this regality to him.
Yeah.
And if you watch, he had very short hair at the beginning of the season. He was probably doing another show or something.
Uh-huh.
By the end of Arrow, he had kind of long hair. They combed it back.
Okay.
And he looked regal. Mm. So it was a fact of when you're casting, they cast him, they like the actor, and his look grew into it. This guy, look at that picture. You don't even need to put a wig on him. That is Vandal Savage. That could have been Ra's al Ghul.
The casting is legitimately
phenomenal.
Perfect. I love that they're bringing this villain in. I'm so
I don't know what he's
this.
Been on, But I saw that picture and I was like, I'm
mostly
sold on this
foreign
guy.
Stuff. He's like a European actor.
Phenomenal. The casting on that.
Didn't it say, was he Dutch or something?
Maybe, yes.
Klump. Klump.
Kasper Klump.
Kasper Klump.
Oh,
I mean, with the alliteration and everything, he should be a comic book villain.
Yeah.
Dude, can rock look a at suit. That.
Yeah, put you see him on the street and you're like, ooh, scary.
That's Vandal
also,
Savage.
Yeah. Totally
so he's
going to
be the main bad of Legends of Tomorrow is the feeling I'm getting. Yeah.
But being introduced, I think, via Flash Arrow, or does
I'm not sure. Because you also have Damian Dark that's going to be on Arrow.
Well, yeah, he's
and Damian Dark
be...
is Hive.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Neil McDonough,
and he's
which
going
is great.
To be the big bad of the whole season.
So I think
we already
I think he's coming on in Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah, he's going to be like their big bad, and like will probably be their Lex, their ultimate nemesis.
How are we having a big bad, and then they're going against Heatwave and Captain Cold and all these other bads? I just still don't understand how
because
this is going to work yet. It's like Suicide Squad type thing.
The bad got to rise together to fight an evil worse villain.
Yeah,
right. It's interesting.
Hey, there's going to be.
I still hate Captain Cold. Cold coat, by the way.
I love it.
It's ridiculous.
That parka. Smaller parka.
I want it.
Smaller
parka.
There's got to be a cooler way to, like, I get it. His powers, like, make him really cold. Like, is he just chilly all the time? I don't get it.
And no one else is cold around him.
Everybody else gets a cool, badass-looking costume, and, like, this guy gets to wear a parka? Seriously, if I was that actor, I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Speaking of costumes...
No, he liked it.
I'm really disappointed.
He's lying to you, and you're buying it.
Yeah.
And you definitely
didn't like it. Under those lights on that set, he's in that thing, and he thinks he likes it. Absolutely not.
And he thinks he likes it. Oh, you know what he
is. And I've heard other people have heard me complain about this and be like, Adam, that's exactly what it looks like in the comics. And I'm like, all right, well, it can look bad in the comics, too. It can look bad there.
Yeah. Actually, his new 52 costume looks stupid. He's got like this little dinky hoodie thing. So
they tried to minimize it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was also kind of like a new 52 inspiration is the fact that Wally West is going to be joining The Flash as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is pretty good, though, because like here you have an African-American Wally West, but new 52 introduced him as an African-American Wally West.
We already have Iris West and Joe West, and they're African-American.
My problem with this is...
Okay.
Is...
Too many Flashes?
Nope. Grant Gustin is 25. This guy's 23.
Right.
It's just... And this goes back, and I know you love him, and I think he's a phenomenal actor. Wally West was too young... Or Barry Allen was too young cast on that show
for me.
We
have no idea how they're incorporating him.
Of course,
they're going to put him
in the
West family.
He could come from
the
future. I get it.
So we don't know. It could be totally legitimate that they're the same age.
You've got two speeds... Because Grant Gustin looks so young.
In New 52, is he's a nephew of Iris or something?
Yeah.
But
you're also talking about the ages of the actors, not the ages of the characters.
Grant Gustin, they look like they're the same age.
Yeah.
Grant Gustin looks like a baby, and I think he's great. I love him, but he looks very young.
I think to Mike's point, they're probably not going to call him Kid Flash.
No.
Probably Impulse, if anything, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I think it'll be really interesting how they tie this in. They're going to have to go with a unique storyline. I don't know whether...
I said earlier, they've done... No wrong, as far
no,
as I go.
No, it's great.
So
I'm a little confused. I mean, it's like you got Garrick, Wally West, and Barry Allen.
Right.
I'm just going to be interested to see like how that all works together.
I don't think that Garrick's a season regular, a series regular. I think that
is this guy?
Yeah, I think that he was.
He's going to be a series regular. So Garrick, are you thinking Garrick's going to be like an alternate?
It's not going to be a one and done, but yeah, I'm thinking.
But an alternate Earth or a different, so he's going to be.
I don't think we're going to see him every day. I don't think he's going to just pop in and pop out.
I'm kind of excited about that because you're right. Like, Barry Allen is really young and this guy's young. So I kind of want to see, like, a more senior person. I was really hoping that we'd find a way to get John Wesley Shipp in a Flash costume.
I thought, you know, when they were doing the season finale and everything, they talked about these alternate worlds. I go, what if the Flash of the 90s show still existed because Gil Bellows was the mayor.
Right.
And Tina McGee is in it. I was like, what if through time travel
it's revealed that
he's the... I don't know how.
How
the
writers.
I'm not a writer. They're a writer.
Yeah, but we already his dad
it
already
just,
knows now.
The fan in me wants that so damn bad.
I loved it. I was a big fan of it. I liked him as the Flash. I thought it was, for the time, I'm so impressed with that costume. And I think the reason that CBS show didn't... The Flash one,
At
the time, I thought it was great.
It still looks good.
I think the reason it didn't... Well, you weren't born then.
No, but I watched it. And I watched it.
But out of time. You know what I'm saying? You watch it out of time and not at that time, which is different. You watch it with all
the
year-given circumstances.
CW Seed, if you guys don't know, they're streaming all 22 episodes of it for free.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's on.
CW
if you guys
awesome.
Go check it out.
I think the reason it didn't get continued is because it was also really expensive for the time.
That and you know why? it was bumped against the Cosby Show the whole time.
Oh,
it was always going up against Cosby. So,
well, now screw you, Cosby. Yeah.
Exactly, America. America made the wrong choice
there.
John Wesley Shipp is a role model worthy of us all
to
this day.
And
then finally, a bit of news. We have some news about season two villains on the show Gotham. Roxy, why you make sad face? Both of you guys make sad faces.
Because I'm a Batman fan, and I gave up on this show.
I know. Here's the thing.
I can't.
Which is the news, particular news that you are upset about seeing?
They did this teaser where he finds the cave, and his dad had a secret lair down there. I'm like, come on. You're doing your own thing. I get it. But you're not, because you're still building Bruce to be Batman, so you're not doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has to end up as Batman. So you, yes, you're all, like what Flash is doing, it's its own thing. Gotham, you've established that this is young version of what we're going to get
to.
You can't, his dad had a bat cave down there with secret stuff, and it's now going to be his kind of lair where he goes to figure stuff out. It's like.
Well, you're calling it the bat cave.
They're calling it the bat cave, basically.
Here's the thing. I don't hate Gotham as much as I have heard other people hate Gotham. I just think that they need to do something to kick butt the season and change some people's minds. Like getting rid of Fish, probably a smart idea.
Yeah.
Bringing in these new villains. Okay, so I'm not making the sad face because I think that this is a bad call. I'm just, there just seems to be so much negativity around this that I'm waiting for something that people are like, yes! I'm coming back to Gotham.
When they used to do,
when
they did the stuff with Maroni and Falcone, and it was all mob stuff, I'm like, yes, this is the Gotham I wanted.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, well, now we're going to see what Mr. Freeze looks like. Or they're doing, this is Black Mask, but his dad.
Yeah.
No.
And introducing even more villains. We've already seen so many
villains,
they're not flushed out.
Tommy Elliott should have been a series regular, and it showed him and Bruce growing up, because then when you do show Hush, you go, oh my God, that's why.
That's so cool, right?
They're taking all these characters. Selena Kyle, that should never have been a character on the show. Catwoman should never have been on there.
Yeah, it was.
It has been establishing
a lot of history with them. I was interested that Jean-Paul Valley is going to be on the show this season too, Azrael. Which
that's something you should do the Order of Dumas, but not do him. Show that the Court of Owls. They're talking about it, but that should be done, because that is the history of Gotham, which lends itself to this. Don't shoehorn in villains from Batman that we know and try and make them younger versions or their sons or daughters.
If you want to see sort of like a caped vigilante on the show, then those are our best opportunities. Is if you have an Azrael or a Court of Owls.
Yes.
Which could be cool, but I agree. You know, on one hand, the showrunners, the producers of the show, saying that Gotham is the character and it's not Batman's story, but then they're showing all the Batman villains.
Right.
You know? So it's like, I agree, it should be more about
the
Gotham itself, and they should have,
because,
you know, they should be able to rely on that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the mob, the supervillains came out of Batman. It was the escalation that we had talked about. Show Gotham, I mean, shows like The Wire did it so well, where it was the mob and this and that.
I just started watching on episode 5, I can't even.
Show the reason why Gotham needs a Batman.
Yeah.
And I mean, the shorters have said, they've even come out and say, hey, we know what worked, what didn't work. We're steering the ship.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I think season two, I'm going to come back on board. But
okay, good.
So what I've seen, it's just kind of like, I like him as Gordon. Show more of him and Harvey. They're great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Harvey and Gordon are great characters. It was interesting to see what they were doing with his fiance, with Barbara Keane.
I liked Leslie Tompkins brought on.
Yeah.
That's a character that we've not dealt with. And I remember there was talk that Holly Hunter was Leslie Tompkins in Batman vs. Superman, and they denied that.
Okay.
But I was like, that's a character that's so great in Batman's mythology that has not done well, except for the animated series did it so well.
And we know Morena Baccarin is going to be back on this season.
Alfred, I can't warm up to.
Really?
I don't know what it is that he's doing. I love the Stern Alfred that's been done in like the Earth One Batman, those novels. I love that badass Batman, and Beware the Batman did it great as well with Alfred. This guy, I'm just not warming up to.
He does it for me. I think he's good.
Okay. I'll give him a second shot.
All right. Well, that's the news for the week. Do we have any questions or anything else we wanted to address?
No, because we're...
So much. We're about long. We're about at the 57-minute mark. I've got to actually... thanks for letting us do the show early today.
Yes.
I have to go see the Fantastic Four screening.
There was one tweet that I thought
was
really funny.
Why do you say it like that? What's wrong?
I was very excited about it now.
Look, now you want to be back on Team DC after Marvel and all that.
Oh,
Question?
Well, this was just a comment that I thought was funny from at @Michael_Drew, who's an AfterBuzz host, so he's the best. He says, Marvel sending their secret agent to steal him from DC. And did you guys see Hayley Atwell tweeted at The Rock saying, at The Rock, can you follow me so I can DM you? I want to ask you something. Did you guys
see Rock that? Follows no one.
Oh.
The Rock, look at his Twitter. He follows no one.
So who knows what that's about?
I want to give a shout out. There was one guy on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it. He posted a picture from the trailer of when Superman's walking into the court, and he singled out Scoot McNairy was in there.
Right.
And I was like, that guy has got a... Whoever you are, buddy, I'm sorry for forgetting your name, but he nailed it. And I go... Because I think he's Jimmy Olsen.
That's okay. That that's was the thing that we forgot to talk about today, actually. I'm glad you brought that up as we go away. So, Scoot McNairy is Jimmy Olsen?
We think.
You think?
I think he loses his legs in the Battle of Metropolis.
Right.
And he's Clark Kent's hopefully
best
friend.
But he doesn't hold it against him.
No.
And, but that's the twist. It's like he's the one guy. So he's in the court saying, I lost my legs. And if it wasn't for Superman, I would have lost my life.
And if you're looking, he's going towards the court. He's on the side of the defendant. He's sitting on that side, too. So I'm like, this guy's
eye. So it makes perfect sense. Here's a guy who lost almost everything, but still has a lot. He's coming to the defense of the man. I love it.
It's great.
I love it.
Good eye. Whoever you, my friend on there, you saw that posted up. Good eye.
That's very cool. I'm glad you brought that up because that was a major thing that we didn't talk about. And everybody would have like been like, why didn't you talk about
they're talking and people, some people were saying like, oh, he's got green legs, he's CGI, he's the Flash.
I'm
like,
right.
Really?
And then also other people thought that the character Jenny was Jenny Olsen, and some people have debunked that and said no, it was
and
Jenny
else, the one with the Ferris, and she's at the end the flight attendant or the military girl at the end was like, oh, he's kind of cute. Her thing said Ferris, so they're like, oh, it's Carol Ferris.
That's
not Carol.
All right, guys.
Good show.
Good week. Good news.
Good luck with the game.
Thank you very much.
Good luck at the screening.
Thank you for the screening. I want to say also thanks to everyone that's tuning in to Man vs. Child Chef Showdown on the FYI Network. Episode 3 airs tonight. It's doing really well. The kids are amazing. If you haven't seen the show, you can go to FYI.tv to check out the first couple of episodes. It's a really, really fun cooking show. I'm really proud to be a part of it. If you want to talk to me about anything DC or comic book related or anything like that, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, at Adam Gertler.
Awesome. I'll be tuning in. Congratulations.
And
the show is doing so well. Yes. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and I will be on Friday doing Superhero Roundup on for SourceFed, talking about Fantastic Four, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm at Mike Kalinowski. Thanks again. Yeah, please keep shooting out all those things on Twitter. I hope I don't always get back to them in the most timely manner. But I love all the fan. It's fantastic. The fan theories and all that stuff.
It's great.
It's awesome.
It's great. We're friends. Yeah. We have friends.
It's very cool.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.